This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hurry, get to the lights, go out.
The game is over, and we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7, The Game.
Jumper is up and no good by Melton. Pulled off the glass by Iguodala. Surveys the floor. Waits, lobbed it for Payton, who skywalks to the rim and jammed it down. Oh, my goodness.
That pass had to be perfect.
And it was exactly perfect, a bright spot for the Warriors on a night that ends in a loss inside Memphis as the Warriors lose at the FedEx Forum tonight. 116-108, John Dickinson here with Warriors Wrap-Up, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to participate in the program. You can give me a call or shoot me a text there as we react to the Warriors' 10th loss of the season. Golden State now 30-10 on this campaign, and the Grizzlies, their winning streak reaches double digits as they pick up their 10th consecutive victory, improving now to 29-14, and a team that's trying to vault themselves into the conversation among the top of the Western Conference and push the three teams that have really garnered the most conversation, of course, being the Warriors with their start, the Phoenix Suns, who move again in front of the Warriors atop the Western Conference with their victory tonight against the Toronto Raptors, and then the Utah Jazz, of course, who were the top seed a year ago, and in that same mix again this year. The Grizzlies trying to push their way into that conversation, and they give the Warriors trouble, point blank. I know this is a night where Draymond Green didn't play, but also a night where Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams didn't play for the Memphis Grizzlies on the other side. And the overarching issue for the Warriors in this game, an obvious one, but it was the turnovers in this game, as the Warriors committing 17 turnovers, which led to 26 Grizzlies points, a 26-6 advantage in terms of points off turnovers for the Grizzlies, who wound up with 100 field goal attempts, so 18 more shot attempts in this game for the Grizzlies over the Warriors, and it was just it was an uphill climb. It felt from the jump, but the Warriors were game for that climb right before halftime. The Warriors found themselves down 18 in the first half. It was 49-31 Grizzlies, and the Warriors showed a lot of fight, and a lot of that fight started with Gary Payton II being put on Ja Morant, who went wild early and then wound up having a couple of big plays down the stretch, along with a couple of big Tyus Jones three-pointers that helped keep the Warriors at bay. But after the Warriors found themselves down 18, late first half, early second half, Warriors with a 14-5 run into the first half, and then started the third quarter on a 23-7 run, part of a 39-28 third quarter for the Warriors, and you felt like they had an opportunity to take control of the game at that point, up 8 in their own right at 74-66, but then more turnovers, and an 11-0 run for the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies would wind up climbing right back into the game, and then they go on to outscore the Warriors 29-18 in the fourth quarter. So you add it all up, and the Grizzlies take their second game in three head-to-head meetings so far this season against the Warriors. 116-108 is the final in this one. So the turnovers, obviously, I mean, just killers for the Warriors. And offense, I think we're finding, is the theme more often than not with the Golden State Warriors in some of these games that they've been losing. They now have lost three of their last four, going back to last week, where they lose to the Dallas Mavericks, and then they wind up being in position where they rest some guys against the Pelicans, and then they end up, they come home, they get a win on Clay Day, but then right back out on the road, and on the road now without Draymond Green, and unable to get a win in this game in Memphis. So the overarching question of the night is, how you feeling if the Warriors and Grizzlies wind up locking horns in, say, a second-round series? Because I think, not to say the Warriors couldn't win, but I think that that type of a series would definitely take a toll. They have a lot of length. They have a lot of athletic defensive playmakers, and there are certain aspects of their team that the Warriors do have a difficult time guarding, but they can hold their own against the Warriors. They can make life difficult for Stephen Curry. 8 for 21 tonight, 27 points for Steph. He did get fouled on 3 3-pointers and knocked down 3 free throws each. In each of those instances. So you look at Steph, and he was able to make an impact that way. Klay Thompson, a plus 17 in the limited minutes. So some positive signs there, but the Grizzlies continue to be a team that just plays the Warriors tough. And you know, even without Draymond Green, where you know it's going to be a little bit of a different conversation if he's playing, they like playing against the Warriors. They're unafraid, and it's going to take a pretty darn good effort in a lot of different phases for the Warriors to be able to hold them off and beat them. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here. We'll get to some phone calls. We'll also hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. Let's get Armand in here to get us tipped off tonight. Armand, you're on Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to say that everything you said is correct. Memphis is a tough matchup, but truth be told, the Warriors are going to have problems closing any series out if Steph Curry doesn't get back to his efficiency. This is one of the reasons why I argue with people who say Iverson is better. He's shooting like Iverson. When you're shooting 39-42% volume shooting, you make it tougher. What separates Steph Curry is that he's always shooting anywhere from 48-50%, and he's always in around that 43-45% three-point range. At the end of the day, we can talk about turnovers, yada, yada, yada. That is true. But when you take an 8-point lead and Steph Curry ends the game with another 2-for-9 type of performance from three, and he's still missing some of these layups. Now, he's attacking the rim more. He's making more of them. But there are still layups that I see him missing that he's been making for years. And you got to have your best player play like the best player consistently so they can win. But it's going to be tougher with the saving grace, Clay coming back, and he'll get more minutes, and I'll cut out some minutes from some other guys once he gets in rhythm later in the year and gets stronger. But this is a game where, you know what, Steph, you got to help deliver it home. There are things he has to do better. He's got to set a better tone. And one thing that I noticed with Steph, he's having too many games where he gets off to a bad start outside of the Cleveland game, but then he finished bad, missing his last seven. So simply put, we can talk all this about the turnovers and everything. Steph has to play like the top five player. He is not shooting like that, and we're halfway through the season. We got to be honest. You need him to step up more.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 888-957-9570. I mean, there's no way around. I mean, the inefficient shooting has been an issue of late, and the Warriors have some figuring out to do, I think, on the offensive side of things in how they're going to close games. And there have been games where Otto Porter will make some threes. There are games where Steph's going to go white hot. There's games where I think Klay Thompson down the stretch is going to give them an infusion of some big-time shot-making. And I think that will allow them to prevail. But they got to figure out, and it's interesting when we play Steve Kerr, I mean, he had something to say with respect to just where this team is at right now with Klay Thompson's return and moving forward as far as their identity, which I found to be interesting, and we'll get into that coming up. But we do have people that want to talk. Phone lines are open, 888-957-9570. Chris in Concord is up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going? You know, a little bit disappointed about tonight, but again, you know, the Grizzlies, man, they match up well against us. And kind of just piggybacking off what you mentioned earlier is, you know, I'm not afraid of playing them in a series because I feel like we have what it takes to kind of take that series. But what would it do to us following up that series? Because that would go the distance, in my opinion. And, you know, hopefully we get hot at the end and our team meshes. But it is a little concerning how well these guys match up against the Warriors. Thanks for the call.
No, I think it's a great point, Chris, and thanks for the call. Yeah, it's not so much that the Warriors wouldn't win that series, because I think we would all favor them to win the series and think that with their experience level, they could pull that series out. But the best-case scenario is probably a really, really hard-fought five, most likely six, and maybe even just seven grueling games. And as things are currently stand, and look, the Warriors did drop from 1-2 tonight, so Phoenix went back up to 1. Memphis stays at 4. But if the Grizzlies are in that 4 spot and the Warriors wind up 1, you're talking about having to play maybe the Grizzlies in the second round and then the Suns in the conference final, let's say, and then, you know, Milwaukee or Brooklyn or whoever the heck is waiting for you on the back end that comes out of the Eastern Conference. So I think it's more about that. It's more about the gauntlet. It's more about the path. And just each series takes a toll and each matchup takes a toll. And the Grizzlies are the kind of team that may not have quite enough at this stage of their development to knock the Warriors off, but they can take a piece of them. And we've seen that happen along the way. Other teams take a piece out of you along the way, and then you don't have enough to finish the whole thing. All right, 888-957-9570. Tim is next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Tim, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up. What's going on tonight, my man?
JD, what's up, brother? How you doing, man? Long time no
good.
Talk to. I just, you know, Jay, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal us playing against them. I think by that time, Clay will be a different person. We'll be a totally different team. I will tell you this: Steph Curry against them, I don't think would be. It would. I wouldn't want to have. I mean, honestly, Jay, it's getting to the point when Steph is shooting his threes. I mean, I'm almost expecting to not go in anymore. Like, it's getting to that point. I mean, Jay, he had 3 air balls tonight. Now, listen, I'm just asking you. I genuinely want to ask you. I mean, am I going crazy? I mean, this has been about a month and a half. I mean, I would tell you this, JD. You put the last year Steph Curry, the guy we saw last year playing with this team, said they probably have lost 3 or 4 games. I mean, let's be honest. So I'm just asking you. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I think he'll get himself out of it. But, Jay, he shot 3 air balls tonight. You know, it just doesn't look right. And I don't know. I don't think he doesn't look slower. He doesn't look anything. I think maybe the league has figured out, hey, maybe let's put more size on him. Is that what it is? But, I mean, he's missing shots, JD, that none of that seems to be the cause of. So, you know, and then again, I'm asking you, man, but it's going to look a little concerning, not so much for the big picture, because I do think we'll be a wholly different team. And then just some of the timing, JD, just think about, like, Clay has been out all of this time, and then the day he comes back, Draymond tweaks the calf in warm-ups? You know what I mean? It's just now that's just kind of just crazy. But, yeah, the Steph shooting thing, just a little concerning, Jay. And when I think about the last year Steph Curry on this team, I honestly think they would have probably have lost 3 or 4 games, man. I mean, what do you think about that, man?
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I think he's going to have to find a rhythm. I think the more minutes Klay Thompson can play, and thanks for the call, Tim, the more minutes he can play and the more he can start to look like himself. And look, let's be honest, the early returns on Klay, I think, as far as how he's just looked physically and being over the injury and athletically, like, I think Klay's looked really, really good to this point. Now, he hasn't been knocking down shots in an efficient manner either, but I think the more he starts to look like himself, the more that's going to help Steph Curry be freed up. Because I think what teams are doing is they are just completely selling out in terms of body and Steph, physical bodies, athleticism, bigger bigger bodies, trying to get him into the lane. And really, I think, you know, using the fact that the officials, frankly, are letting things go at a greater rate around the basket than maybe they had in previous years, which didn't necessarily apply to Curry because Curry wasn't going to the basket. But I think it's more, you know, the in-between game has been a little bit off. The floater game has been a little bit off. The drive and pulling up, and you know, there's been a lot of Steph almost attacking, looking to draw fouls, and maybe he's not getting those calls as opposed to looking to go up and finish. But I think he's also just missed shots that in other years in his career at the rim, going to the basket, he's been able to make. So I think all of that plays a role here. But I think when Clay starts rolling a little bit, I think that's going to be the point in which, all right, maybe teams are going to have to start to focus a little bit more attention on Clay, and that's going to open things up for Stephen Curry. But right now, it's just a matter of, you know, pushing him through it. I'll tell you another thing. I'll give you another theory, and I've thrown this out there. They got to fix his rotation. He's playing more minutes, and tonight, you know, Moore has not necessarily been better. As he ended up playing 38 minutes and 41 seconds, so he basically played 39 minutes in the game tonight, and he played nearly the whole first quarter. It looked like it was going to be the normal rotation again, but Steve Kerr pulled him out with about 2:30 to go before the end of the third quarter, and he winds up putting him back. He puts him back in at the top of the fourth quarter, then takes him out in the middle of the quarter. Curry wants to play the old rotation. Like, he likes to be able to finish quarters, and he likes to be able to get out there and work his way into a rhythm. And I just think while the team maybe overall has been helped with the rotation where he comes in, sits out, comes back at the end of the quarter, stays in, begins the second and fourth, but then there's been too many games where Steve Kerr either hadn't taken him out for that second rest, or he has taken him out and put him back in like he did tonight, and things are just a little bit off, or there's not enough time for him to work his way back into that lather that he really likes to work himself back into. So I think that's another thing to watch for when Klay Thompson does come back. It's the and comes back, and by comes back, I mean he's already back, but can play, you know, 30 minutes a game, can work his way into the 30s in terms of minutes played. When he's really back, I think Steve Kerr will be a little bit more comfortable just running Curry out there for the entire first, the entire third, rest him the first 5 or 6 minutes of the second, rest him the first 5 or 6 minutes of the fourth, and get his game back in that rhythm that he's used to having it at and used to, you know, used to being able to build a little bit of a rhythm. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game. Phone lines open, reacting to this game as the Warriors lose to the Grizzlies. 116-108 is the final in this one. So the Warriors are 30-10, Grizzlies 29-14. And how you feeling if the Warriors wind up playing Memphis in a playoff series? They have taken 2 out of 3. Draymond Green being out, Warriors now 3-4 in games that Draymond has had to miss. And as far as you know, Tim, our guy Tim, talking about, you know, Klay comes back and then Draymond goes down, I think that was always going to be a big part of the story of how great this Warriors team could be, is how many games would Steph and Klay and Draymond all be able to play together. So I think, and right now that it's essentially zero at this point because Draymond's missed the last couple, and not great news on the Draymond front as far as the rest of the road trip. We'll let Steve Kerr settle all that because he did have some thoughts on it in his post-game press conference, but not good for Milwaukee as the next game and Chicago as the following game, and then Minnesota on the back end of this trip before the Warriors come home and have a 7-game homestand where maybe they can get back on track. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's get Paulie in Oakland up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Paulie.
Hey, how's it going, Chief? Hey, man, great show tonight. I got just two quick takes on this, man. And I hope I'm not being too personal, man. You know, Curry is awesome. But I think as far as, like, physically, I think he's just too big. He's just too buff now, man. I know he's trying to put on that weight so he can, like, not get tossed around as much as he used to. But I don't know. I think that's backfiring. And the second thing is his parents are going through a divorce right now. I think that sometimes, you know, when it comes to shooting, a lot of it is mental, believing that, you know, everything is good in the background, and then the game takes care of itself. But I think there's some mental things going on just with the family issues right now, maybe. But I'm hoping the guy gets his shot back, man. We need him now. You know, we got the rest of the half of the season to go. And I'm hoping that maybe he can just slim down again. Maybe his triceps are a little bit too buffed, and get his game back, man. We need him.
Thanks for the call, Paulie. And look, it's, you know, hasn't really been asked, but those are two thoughts that I've had. I mean, I'll be honest. There are two things that have popped into my mind because I tend to be kind of analytical where I'm thinking about everything and what could it be. And, yeah, if your mind's not totally right or if your head's not totally I don't want to say not into it because I think, I mean, Steph Curry's into it. But if there are things going on that maybe are taking a toll, it can cause a little bit of an issue. You know, you're not the first person that's brought up just, you know, Steph's body and how physical he looks and bigger he looks. But whatever it is, I mean, I'm also, you know, as I go down that path a little bit, I'm also more apt to just say wait a game. You know, wait a game or wait for the next 10 games because, and I keep saying it, and I think it is going to happen at some point, he's going to go on just a nuclear stretch of 50 of the next 100 or whatever, and it's going to be all right. I mean, this guy is the just clear-cut MVP on a tear, and the numbers are maybe not at the peak of what his numbers have been throughout his career, but right heading down that path again to being in line with the top couple of years of his career. So there's a lot of season to go, over half a season to go, and I still think, you know, Stephen Curry's got another month, 2 month stretch where he's just otherworldly, and we're going to be like we have in some other years where we've gone down this road. What's wrong with Steph? What's wrong with Steph? And then, you know, we look back and we go, man, it was silly that we spent so much time talking about it at the end of December and the first couple of weeks of January. Tito in Fairfield at 888-957-9570. Hey, Tito, you're on Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game.
How's it going? Oh, I just want to say, you know, a couple points. I think exactly with the guy, he hit it on the, you know, nose right there. We said about Steph Curry, and a lot of things people can understand. This little schism going on. Also, is Draymond Green's not been around, and people really underestimate him a lot. And he's the glue.
Yeah. Thanks. Yep, appreciate the call. Sounds like you had your radio up in the background there, so we get you in, get you out here, and open up that phone line at 888-957-9570. Warriors lose to the Grizzlies, 116-108. So Golden State now 30-10. Grizzlies improved to 29-14 on the year. Some positives and negatives for the Warriors in this one. I mentioned Klay Thompson. I really do think physically he looked pretty good. The 5-13, his shooting's got to come around, but I think that's still only a matter of time. But he made a real positive impact on the game for the time that he was in there. Thought the Warriors maybe waited a little bit too long to put Gary Payton II on Ja Morant. The game did flip when Steve Kerr put Gary Payton II on Ja Morant about the 3-minute mark of the second quarter. And the Warriors immediately went on a 14-5 run to close that half and put themselves in a spot where they were, you know, right there within striking distance. And then they come out only down 8 at the half, and they jump on the Grizzlies in the beginning of that third quarter with Gary Payton II taking the rotation spot that was held by Juan Toscano-Anderson in the first half. And so it's 14-5 to close. It's 23-7 to open the third quarter. And yeah, Gary Payton II, another just positive game. He, and I know he was a little bit banged up, and I think the Warriors were trying to maybe save some of his minutes for the second half, potentially, knowing that they'd want to have him on Morant. Morant doesn't fear Wiggins. I think that's one thing we know. Ja Morant doesn't fear Wiggins when Wiggins is on him in big moments, and he's got a lot of confidence to begin with. So I think when you look at Morant, something to keep an eye on, you know, moving forward there, when Peyton was able to be on Morant, and it was the right call to have Peyton on the floor there at the end of the game, but when he was able to get Wiggins on him at different points, he likes to be able to try and go at and attack Andrew Wiggins, for as good as a defensive player as Andrew Wiggins is. But another one of those nights, and maybe some of the injury issues are a part of it, but another one of those nights where you look at Gary Payton, and there's been a few of them this season, where you look at him and you go, boy, wouldn't you have liked to have seen a little bit more Gary Payton? Wouldn't you have liked to have seen him out there for just a couple of more minutes? And it sort of gets into this bigger picture conversation about how Steve Kerr is going to distribute minutes once he gets everybody back. And now with Klay Thompson back two games in and Draymond has been out, but once you get those players back, who are the guys that are going to play every game? Who are the players that are going to maybe find themselves in and out of the rotation? And you know, tonight was one of those nights where, you know, Gary Payton, a plus-plus player, I think you can't be afraid to push the limit with Gary Payton because he's been such a positive impact player. I just don't think you can – I don't think you can, you know, not play him too much at this point. You know, if he pushes 30 and that means – on a night where Jordan Poole maybe isn't playing as well, and tonight was a night where it was just a rough night for Jordan Poole and a series of rough nights for Jordan Poole. And, you know, Poole a minus 17 in this one. So as good as Klay Thompson was with his plus 17, Jordan Poole was a minus 17 in this game. And you're thinking, well, maybe it's a night and Poole has struggled. Five of his last 25 since he had the big game in the win over Miami where he came off the bench and put in 32 points. He's only got 43 in the last handful of games. I guess that's four games since. He's been 5 for 25 from three-point range. And so the Warriors are trying to figure out, what to do with him on nights where maybe he's not putting the ball in the basket at the level that he can. When he fills it up, it's you need him out there. You want him out there. He could even potentially be a finishing player, I think, for the Warriors. But when he's not on, I think there is a fine line of, all right, well, how long do you give him if you're Steve Kerr to let him get rolling as opposed to maybe going in a different direction and maybe, you know, trying to play somebody else that can give you a net positive. And I think tonight, you know, that player was Gary Payton the second, and you look up and even banged up, I kind of went, only 23 minutes for Gary Payton the second. Maybe if he plays a little bit more, maybe if he's on Ja Morant a little bit more, they're able to slow the Grizzlies down. It becomes more of a zero-sum kind of a game. And on a night where the Warriors' offense was there and then it wasn't there, it becomes they can ride their defense to home maybe and finish the job in that fashion. All right, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr coming up next. More of your phone calls. We'll get to some texts as well. It's Warriors wrap-up here on 95.7 The Game.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wiggins to Curry. Curry crosses half court. Curry on Zaire Williams. Step back off the dribble. Three on the way. Got it! And Golden State's got the lead, 61-59.
Wow.
My goodness.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, part of that big run early third quarter as the Warriors had climbed back into the game. 14-5 going into the half. 23-7 coming out of the half, and the Warriors were putting it on the Grizzlies, and there were moments in that third quarter where you thought the Warriors might be able to actually build a nice little cushion for themselves. The largest lead they got it up to was 74-66, an 8-point advantage at that point, but you're thinking, man, they had the Grizzlies on the ropes. The Grizzlies, though, came right back and grabbed the lead, and then they wind up prevailing in this one, 29-18 in the fourth quarter. Grizzlies win it 116-108. So kind of a statement, I think, even with Draymond Green not playing. Grizzlies didn't have Dylan Brooks or Steven Adams. Just a statement as we start to look at the matchups between the Warriors and Grizzlies, Warriors and Jazz, Warriors and Suns. Like, these are all season series that I think do deserve some extra scrutiny, because these are the teams that the Warriors ultimately will likely play in the postseason if they're going to make a run toward an NBA Finals. And you know, the Grizzlies to have the Warriors hit them back after the Warriors had hit them, the Grizzlies had hit them in the first matchup. Warriors hit them back a couple of weeks ago at Chase, even shorthanded. And the Grizzlies to bounce back and then show that they're in it, even in a game where Draymond doesn't play, and you know, I think that goes a long way. I mean, they play the Warriors as tough as anybody in the league. 888-957-9570. Let's get Bones in here up next on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Bones?
Hey, man. Hey, you know what? I'm going to keep it real. I didn't even see the game, but I heard that we took the L, right? And it's like, hey, that play-in game was the first game right there where we knew that these dudes are for real. That game, that last game when we played and we locked Ja down, how much did he have that game? He didn't have that much. GP2 was no leathering him the whole night to play him. We can't let Johnny get off. I don't even know what he had, but I guarantee you probably went off.
Yeah, 29 tonight for John Morant, and thanks for the call, Bones. And, yeah, Gary Payton II did a hell of a job on him late first half, early second half, but he wound up with 29 overall, and he was controlling the game and having his way early, and he had some plays down the stretch. Now, Tyus Jones had a couple of pick threes in this one, and he ended up with 17 points and was a plus 20. He was the number one positive player for the Grizzlies in terms of plus-minus for the whole game, and wound up 5 for 5 from three-point range in this one. So that's something you don't always account for, is Tyus Jones having that kind of a game in 23 minutes, kind of a Jordan Poole type of a game on a good night for Jordan Poole. But yeah, 5 for 5 from three and a couple of big ones down the stretch when the Warriors were right there. It was 103-100 when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson came back into the game at the 4:39 mark. And Tyus Jones hits back-to-back threes, and it winds up being 109-100 at that point. And the Warriors were never really able to overcome it. They did get it down to three on the steal and the dunk from Gary Payton the second, but then Ja put it away with the layup and the and one. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. All right, let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, following this one. A lot to say as the Warriors fall to the Grizz.
I thought Tyus Jones' two threes broke the game open, and that was the key. So, you know, we did a lot of good things to get back in it after a really bad first half. But it was a great game. Two of the best teams in the league, and they're the hottest team in the league. And we gave ourselves a chance, but we didn't play well enough to win.
Didn't see the conflict with Gary, but think about using Gary on earlier.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, Gary's one of best defenders in the league, and so we knew he was going to guard him for quite a bit of the game. And so we got there, and you know, we started Wiggs on him, but eventually got Gary on him.
You've obviously been around a lot of teams that kind of emerged into a 4-5.
First view, just a team that's really well coached, well put together. They play with a lot of confidence. The pieces fit. They've done a great job, just the whole organization, you know, building this team from the ground up over the last few years. They've, you know, nailed their draft picks and developed their players well. And Taylor and his staff have been great in terms of, you know, forming an identity and building the team around Ja. And so great job. And they've turned into one of the best teams in the league.
Clay
was really good, you know, a plus 17 in his 19 and a half minutes. He looks quick. He looks agile. He looks strong. It's really exciting to see how he's playing this early, you know, after that long of a period being off. And I look forward to being able to play more minutes.
What makes John specifically so hard to defend, and Gary, too, obviously, one of the best defenders in the league, but to find some success in showing down?
Just staying in front of him. You know, Jaws, one of the best athletes in the league, and explosive and really hard to contain. And Gary, I thought, came in and did as good a job as you can in trying to contain the penetration and stay in front of him. You know, he's been out so long that the game's even changed in the last 2.5 years. You know, it seems like all these games turn small, and there's not much rim protection, and there's switching everywhere. So you end up with guards in the paint after a switch. So I just think Clay is seeing room in front of him, and he's attacking.
I don't know how purposeful it was, but it's a hard last step shot, something like that. You
view
him as a guy, particularly, you know, crunch time.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, it's no secret that down the stretch we're going to want Steph and Clay, you know, shooting big shots. And, you know, Wiggs can also attack and get to the rim. But, yeah, we're going to call a lot of a lot of plays for Clay and try to get the ball in his hands for sure.
What was your pitch? Like, were you looking at the clock when you could get him back in?
Yeah. I mean, I knew, you know, the plan was in order. We knew what we were doing, so we were going to save him for the last 5 minutes. And so that'll be a process as he continues to ramp up his minutes and we get Draymond back. You'll see the team start to form in terms of how we're going to close games and not only offensively, but defensively. And so I think in a strange way, these next 3-4 weeks are going to be about kind of reestablishing our identity as a team. We did a great job these first 40 games of, becoming a great defensive team, and a lot of guys have played important minutes and established roles. But now that's going to be shaken up a little bit because Clay's going to play a huge role. And we've learned a lot about some of our young guys. And so this next month or so, we're going to shuffle the deck a little bit and try some different combinations and try to get everything in order for the stretch run and the playoffs.
Can you word on Draymond possibly joining Milwaukee?
I think it's doubtful right now that he would join us. He's doing well, but it seems, with the back-to-back, it seems far-fetched to think that we'll just fly him out and play him. He's not ready to do that, but we'll see how it goes the next couple of days.
You talk about jobs obviously raising this team, but are you just, is it also impressive how the person's death has just shown up in this game? Obviously, Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane, not knowing Jeff Krasnick, Zaire, and then Tyus Jones. Is the Grizzlies' death just kind of impressive?
Yeah. And that's what I was mentioning earlier. They've done a great job in the draft with guys like Bane and Kyle Anderson in a trade, I think. But a lot of guys who have come in here and played important roles and given them a lot of depth. Brandon Clark hasn't played much all year. He came in and made an impact. So they've built a really good roster.
They have, and the Grizzlies 29-14, and the first team to beat the Warriors for a second time. Two of the 10 Golden State losses against Memphis. Steve Kerr with a couple of things I think worth delving into a little bit more deeply. We'll do that in just a moment, but first I want to get West Oakland Sam in here on the phone lines at 888-957-9570. What's going on, Sam? How are you?
Hey, JD, happy new year, man. It's been a minute, brother. I compare what we're going through this season. I compare it to, do you remember, like, during the dynasty run, especially, like, when we had KD, how we would look at wins and losses and be like, oh, I can't believe we lost this game. Compared to what we have this season, I take our losses completely different. I take them more as, let's look at what we could do rotation-wise. And specifically with a game like tonight, like where we've seen what Gary Payton can do against Ja, because like Memphis gives us, they give us trouble with their small ball lineup and just with their rotations as well. And like, even though we're missing Draymond, they are a strong defensive minded team and they give us problems in almost all aspects of what we can do offensively. They can match in a way, and they didn't even have Dylan Brooks, who did amazing against Steph. But as we work Clay back in and get him back in the mode and get his minutes ramped up, I'm not too worried. But I just want to really focus on looking at this season as building rotations than just wins and losses. So yeah, that's all, man.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And look, this team's also 30-10. I mean, at times around these parts, it's almost as if the expectation is that this team was going to be 35-5. I mean, 30-10. I think 40 games into this thing is something that any Warrior fan would have signed up for. They're right there. They're within a game of the best record in the NBA. The Western Conference is starting to take shape, and you look at it, and the Suns are pretty good and the Jazz are pretty good and the Grizzlies are on the come and enjoy playing against the Warriors and pose some problems. But I think that is a good way of looking at it. I mean, you take your 30-10, this team's going to be on pace to win 60 games at the halfway mark, regardless of what happens in Milwaukee. And that's just a tremendous, tremendous season. I don't know how many people would have bet the Warriors to be on pace to win 60 games at the halfway point of the year. I certainly wouldn't have at that point. And I thought they could have been, you know, I thought they could have been a pretty good team, and it was pretty apparent that they were going to be a pretty good team if you watched them in the preseason. So, but yeah, 30-10 is a tremendous record, and now to get back into some of the things that Steve Kerr had to say, because I do think it is in line with Sam's call, is just the notion of reestablishing an identity. And I get that it's a little tricky right now because Klay Thompson's minutes are restricted and he can only play 20 and you're working him back probably to 25 and then hopefully eventually to 30. So he's going to get his starting spot, his rotation spot, but how does everything else fan out off of that? I don't think it's necessarily as difficult as Steve Kerr makes it out to reestablish what the identity is going to be. I think it's become pretty clear, and I've mentioned this a few times, I think it's become pretty clear who should be playing for this Warriors team as far as regular minutes every night. When you look at Steph and Klay, and obviously Wiggins and Draymond, once he comes back and is healthy, Looney's going to play. We did have a text about Looney. How come no Looney down the stretch? Well, no Looney down the stretch because you were going to have Gary Payton II in the game down the stretch, and you wanted to have a little bit more offense with Otto Porter in the game as well down the stretch. So I think the question would be, you know, do you go back to Looney versus maybe having Porter out there on a night where Otto Porter Jr., 9 points, but it was one of the quieter games that Otto Porter Jr. has had. He was a negative -7. So I think that's a fair question if you want to say, you know, maybe Looney over Porter. But to me, there's 9 players that are going to play. And the 4 bench guys are Poole and Payton and Porter and Iguodala if he's healthy. And then you fan it out beyond that, and you say, all right, Lee's going to play some. Warriors didn't have Kuminga tonight due to some knee soreness. So he was unavailable in this one. And then JTA, who started the game but wound up only playing 7 minutes, and they went in another direction as far as who was going to get those minutes in the second half. Damian Lee stepped in and got some minutes in the second half, and Payton took the starting spot at the beginning of the third quarter, which was the right call. But I don't know that there needs to be all of the mixing and matching and you know, throwing some different groups out there. I didn't love the way Steve Kerr put that. Like, I think it can be a little bit more buttoned up, and I think if you've watched the first half of this Warriors season, as we all have, I think we know who brings what to the table. I think we know who the net positive players are. I think we know who the sometimes in the rotation players are, sometimes not in the rotation players. And then it just becomes really, you're just going to have to try and work. You're just going to have to try and work Klay Thompson back in and back up to a point where he can be playing, you know, closer to the 30s in terms of minutes than where he's got to sit out and you're waiting, all right, when's the next 4 or 5 minute stretch going to be for a guy like Klay Thompson? The other breaking news in I don't think it was necessarily all that breaking, but breaking when Steve Kerr is asked about the status of Draymond Green for the games in Milwaukee and Chicago coming up on Thursday and Friday, and Steve Kerr saying it's doubtful and that it's not as if they would just fly him out and play him. I mean, the first sign that this was something a little bit more significant than maybe a game or a game or two was when he wasn't on the trip. I wasn't expecting that one, for Draymond to not be on the trip with what the Warriors are saying is left calf tightness that came on in the warm-up on Sunday, the Klay Day return game at Chase. He comes up feeling a little bit of a twinge and then winds up not playing in that game other than the ceremonial tip-off. And then when you hear Draymond didn't make the trip, that's when you're thinking, okay, well, that means he's probably not going to play on the trip at all. And I know the Warriors had left some gray area. Maybe he flies out, maybe plays, maybe come back from Milwaukee or whatever. And let me tell you, if he's not playing in Milwaukee and he's not playing in Chicago, then you're not flying him out, you know, halfway across the country to play one game in Minnesota and then come home with the team and then play in the seven-game homestand. I mean, that's Steve Kerr basically saying without saying, and you know, officially, air quotes, doubtful, but that's Steve Kerr saying without saying that Draymond's probably not playing until a week from tonight against the Detroit Pistons at the earliest. So that's concerning. And you know, as much as we talk about Draymond Green and missing Draymond Green, as far as the off or the defense goes and the defensive player of the year candidate, where the Warriors really have missed him the most in the time that he's been unavailable has been offensively. It's been flow and rhythm and the ability to get, you know, easy baskets for others and just, you know, the offense that the Warriors run doesn't run the same without Draymond Green, you know, pushing the tempo and being able to work with Stephen Curry and being able to have all of those actions wind up leading to opportunities for him to make plays for others. So I think, you know, it didn't look great in the game against Cleveland, but the Warriors had enough defense. You hold them to 82 points and you wind up winning that game even though you can't get to 100. You know, tonight the Warriors knocked down a couple of more three-pointers, and they didn't get the best game from Jordan Poole, but they missed the flow and the pace that Draymond Green allows them to play with offensively. And in more of the Warriors' losses than not, if you say, hey, did they not play an offensive, a good offensive game or good defensive game, I mean, it's almost always been, well, they didn't do enough offensively, or they had far too many careless turnovers, or another team's length bothered them and they couldn't outshoot it to earn themselves a win. And I think you've seen it at times in close games down the stretch, a couple of them against the Grizzlies, where the Grizzlies are able to do just enough on one end to slow the Warriors down and then get a few key baskets, and Ja Morant being able to provide a few of those baskets in those head-to-head matchups. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Top of the hour, we'll switch it over to Kolsky & Company as I'm going to sit in for Kolsky. Tracy Sandler is going to join us to talk some 49ers at 9:30. But we'll keep the Warriors conversation going as well. We'll also get into some 49ers conversation in the top of the 9 o'clock hour, and we'll hear from Klay Thompson and do all those different things. Right now, though, let's go ahead and hear from Gary Payton II. He had an impact on this one in his 22 minutes of play tonight, 13 points, knocked down a big 3, 6 of 8. He was doing a number on Ja Morant. Let's hear from GP2 from Memphis.
Plan all along to take on Ja. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. It's just a fun matchup for me. He makes me, you know, he makes me better, you know, guarding him and, you know, things he does. It's just a fun challenge for me. And, you know, he just takes my game to a next level. It's probably up there as of right now in this time and everything in the league and whatnot. And the matchup and players, you know, that's in his league, he's one of those that can take over a game pretty quickly. So I'll be looking forward to this matchup.
What's your strategy?
Just touch him. Make him uncomfortable. He doesn't like that. I think he doesn't like it. But, you know, just make him uncomfortable.
Why it's not a big formation. Starting.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's wonderful to have him on the court and with us and, you know, help him get his feel back and, you know, he'll find it, you know, when he does. And, you know, we're here to support him and put him in our rotation and let him find it.
What have you thought about just the Grizzlies for the past couple of years? And were there times that the club in this playoff
life? Oh, every time we play them, we know they're going to be in the hunt, in the mix, young, talented team. And they're hungry, and we know they're going to come out and give us everything they got every time.
How were you guys able to fly back into that game?
Just do what we didn't do in the first half is, you know, guard, don't turn over the ball, make plays and get out and run in transition.
Like about that lineup that opened second half?
Yeah, I don't know. We just, you know, we cleaned up everything in the first half defensively and took care of the ball and just move it like we usually do. And, you know, and guys just make plays.
Do you guys consider the playoffs to
Oh, yeah, they, you know, they've been creeping, trying to fight, you know, to do what they've been doing for the last couple of years. And like I said, they're a young, talented team, and they're hungry. And, yeah, they're going to be in a mix, you know, a little later down in the season, you know, and see what happens.
All right, so Gary Payton II there, as he had a nice ball game tonight, did a nice job against John Morant, and a lot of questions, obviously, from the Memphis side of things with respect to just where the Grizzlies are and their standing in the Western Conference and the impact that they can make as a young team that's definitely on the come and definitely going to put they're looking to put heat on everybody. I mean, they're looking to put heat on Utah, who they are currently even with now. The Jazz do have they've played a couple of fewer games. They have one fewer win, one fewer loss, but the Grizzlies are basically – they're tied for third right now in the Western Conference. Only 2.5 back of the Warriors. The Warriors dip a game below the Suns. The Suns won tonight in Toronto. The Suns picked one up there. They did not sit out their team as Utah and the Warriors did in Toronto. And both those teams, the Warriors and Jazz, took L's in Toronto by basically not sending their team. The Suns did not do that and went into Toronto and eked out a close one tonight. So they pick up a game in the standings that those other two teams didn't win in the early going to move up by a game in the conference standings. So 31-9 Phoenix, 30-10 for the Warriors. And now the Jazz are 28-13. The Grizzlies, with their 10th consecutive win, are now 29-14 and right there tied for third. So you can say, hey, you don't want to see, if the Warriors are one, you don't want to see the Grizzlies at four. Well, the Warriors are two and the Grizzlies are right there on the heels. You might get them in the 2-3 just as likely. So there is, I think, more of a wide open race between those four teams. 888-957-9570. We'll call it a night on the Warriors wrap-up portion of things, but we're going to keep the Warriors conversation going at the top of the hour as we'll switch over, flip it to Kolsky and company as I'm with you until 10 o'clock, filling in for Kolsky. 888-957-9570. We'll hear from Klay Thompson as well right here as the Grizzlies beat the Warriors tonight. You heard it on 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.